Turn in your Bibles to Proverbs, book of Proverbs, chapter 11. And we're in a section in Proverbs where we're dealing with topics. Sometimes one verse, such as the case tonight. Proverbs chapter 11, verse 22. And children, here are your questions for this evening. First, does God's word teach us to honor and respect women? Two, can you name some of your favorite women in the Bible and why you chose them? And three, take the time today to encourage your mom, grandmother, sister, and for that matter, any of the women in the church. That wasn't a question. That was a strong suggestion. Proverbs 11:22, this is God's word. Like a gold ring in a pig's snout is a beautiful woman without discretion. There ends the reading of God's word. Let us pray together. Lord our God, we thank you for your word. And we thank you not only for the wisdom and the power and the glory of your word, but also the wit of your word and the way that you express things to us sometimes to grab our attention. Lord, we thank you for this short verse. And let it be a reminder to us that we are to live godly lives wholly given unto you. And that there's a certain beauty that you supply and that you bless. And so, Lord, as we come to this brief text and as we explore your word together, please be with us. Please send your Holy Spirit. Use this message, we pray, for your glory and for the good of every soul gathered here tonight. We come to you in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, I have to admit right away that this probably was not the best choice of a text for Mother's Day. I kind of inadvertently chose it. I don't think I realized at the time that Mother's Day was coming, but then I have to admit I didn't change it either once I realized it was coming. But the point of the text is that a physically beautiful woman who doesn't have discretion is about as attractive as a sow with a nose ring. A nose ring in many cultures, and especially back in this day, was something that was an ornament for a beautiful woman to show beauty. It was like a jewel. And you get the idea pretty simply that you might have a physically beautiful woman, but if she's without true religion, without grace, without a heart for God, if her words are not honoring to God and her actions are displeasing to God, then she's like a pig with a ring in its snout. It's a jewel that's wasted on an unattractive beast. It's not the most flattering verse, is it? But it's meant to produce the opposite. Now, I don't know about you. I don't find pigs, in my humble opinion, pigs are not pretty. They have nasty habits. They will run right back into the mud that they've just come from, even if you wash them off. They have some awful habits, and I don't even need to go into it. But you get the idea. Couldn't help but think of this idea of physical beauty without discretion. I couldn't help but think in our culture of beauty queens who work so hard and are lifted up as so appealing to the eye, and yet their lives are absolutely horrific. And they're immoral people. They're godless people. I'm not saying they all are, but there certainly are some who are perverse and they fit this bill. It's just not fitting. Now, I am not going to spend a lot of time tonight focusing on physical beauty. I can't imagine how much trouble I could get in with things that I say about this. And I might say some really dumb things, and I might still say some dumb things. But I want to focus on what the Bible has to say about this whole issue. And yet turn it around and become positive. In fact, if you look at the Bible, most references to physical beauty, to physical attractiveness, to aesthetics, usually there's something negative attached to it somewhere. Now, just consider these people. And I'm not blaming them all for what happens at all. In fact, some of these are very good women. But consider this. It is said that Sarah was a strikingly beautiful woman. And yet, Abraham, because of his fear, lied to Pharaoh and said, "She's my sister." Ironically, his own son Isaac did the very same thing with his wife Rebekah with regard to Abimelech. Now, it might have been very flattering to these women. They were very obviously very appealing to the eye, but it's not recommended to do, and it caused a lot of trouble. You think of Delilah. She was a bad one. Big problems. No doubt Samson was attracted to her for simply surface reasons. There's Bathsheba. We're told that she was very beautiful. And she caught David's eye, and you know the tragic story of that, of David's great sin and indiscretion and the things that led him to murder. You think about Esther, who was so beautiful that she won a beauty contest. And yet the story of Esther is not really the storybook scenario that we like to think it is. There were some kind of seedier things about that, granted that she got into some strategic places through the pageantry. But there are some things about that. There are other stories and situations where the mention of physical beauty somewhere down the line leads to some kind of trouble. We deal with some of that in our own culture. There's a lot of sadness, if you ask me, because of the focus on physical beauty. The vanity that comes along with that. The danger that can come along with flaunting physical attributes. Give you some random snippets. I think about how models are held up as a standard that destroys so many other women's self-estimation. Think of how recently, these little snippets that I pick up of this one girl who was determined to be the world's most beautiful girl. She had all the physical attributes that everybody loves. And I'm thinking, what a sad thing. What an awkward thing. What a thing for her to read that she's the most beautiful person in the world, beautiful girl in the world. Think about something I heard recently. So much vanity, so much wanting to look perfect. This idea of puffing up lips if you don't have big enough lips. And I was listening to this ad, and in the ad, it was so ironic to me because you know how they have that legal thing attached to the end that goes really fast? And they give you every single warning that you could possibly have about any drug. But one of the warnings on this lip puffer upper thing, whatever it's called, is the danger of a stroke. And I'm thinking, are we seriously to the point where we're willing to risk a stroke so we look like Mick Jagger? I know a lot of you don't get that. But to really get to the point where we look exactly the way that we want to look, to risk a stroke, maybe even death, we've gotten to a terrible, terrible place. And again, the flip side of all this vanity is this idea of self-value and self-worth crisis. I'm still struck. I still kind of laugh at a friend of mine's comment. I saw her when she was exercising and she didn't have makeup on. And she said, "Now that you've seen me without makeup, I'm going to have to kill you." And so you get the idea that we're very focused on this whole idea about how we look. And it's foolish to deny that people aren't drawn to outward beauty, even in the most innocent way. That would be foolish to say. But I can say on pretty good authority, on very solid authority, that God is not interested in that. God is not at all interested in that. As we learn from when he's looking for David, or when David's being sorted out, he makes it clear that he looks on the heart. He doesn't look on the outward man. God is not interested in all this vanity, this aesthetic beauty. And I'm not preaching against wanting to look nice. Don't get me wrong. But God's not interested in that kind of stuff. He looks at the heart. So we ask ourselves, what is a beautiful woman in the eyes of God? What's a beautiful woman in the eyes of God? I put it this way, as an encouragement to our women: be godly It's very simple. Be godly, but be yourself. Don't feel the need to fit into worldly and unbiblical molds made by men and women. Be godly and be yourself. Don't let others determine your self-worth. You're lovely because God made you and He loves you. I want to focus on now turning this around, leaving the woman without discretion, the pig with a ring in her snout, to focus on virtue. And know that if you're a woman of virtue and you're a godly woman, that the people who truly care about you will appreciate that. They will appreciate you more than you might ever know. First of all, the woman who's beautiful in the eyes of God fears the Lord. They're women who look to Christ and they're adorned by grace. First of all, they fear the Lord. I'm going to turn for us, and I want you to read along, a place that I know for a fact that many women hope that the pastor never goes, Proverbs 31. But I think we need to understand Proverbs 31, the text on a beautiful woman, it's hard to find, is a characterization. Focusing on some specific items, but encouraging godliness and diligence in women. This is Proverbs 31, and we'll begin in verse 10. An excellent wife who can find? She is far more precious than jewels. The heart of her husband trusts in her, and he will have no lack of gain. She does him good and not harm all the days of her life. She seeks wool and flax and works with willing hands. She is like the ships of the merchant. She brings her food from afar. She rises while it is yet night and provides food for her household and portions for her maidens. She considers a field and buys it. With the fruit of her hands, she plants a vineyard. She dresses herself with strength and makes her arms strong. She perceives that her merchandise is profitable. Her lamp does not go out at night. She puts her hands to the distaff, and her hands hold the spindle. She opens her hand to the poor and reaches out her hands to the needy. She is not afraid of snow for her household, for all her household are clothed in scarlet. She makes bed coverings for herself. Her clothing is fine linen and purple. Her husband is known in the gates when he sits among the elders of the land. She makes linen garments and sells them. She delivers sashes to the merchants. Strength and dignity are her clothing, and she laughs at the time to come. She opens her mouth with wisdom, and the teaching of kindness is on her tongue. She looks well to the ways of her household and does not eat the bread of idleness. Her children rise up and call her blessed, her husband also, and he praises her. Many women have done excellently, but you surpass them all. Charm is deceitful and beauty is vain, but a woman who fears the Lord is to be praised. Give her the fruit of her hands and let her works praise her in the gates. There are some other descriptions that would broadly describe what a godly woman looks like, what a truly beautiful woman's character is like. We've been going through the Beatitudes. There's a great example. I'm not going to read them for us tonight, but great example of what true Christian character and a godly woman looks like. The fruit of the Spirit will be evident. Right? Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Evidence of true love. Again, love, being patient and kind, not envious or boastful, not arrogant or rude, does not insist on its own way, it's not irritable or resentful, does not rejoice in wrongdoing, but rejoices with the truth. Love bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. Those things are evident in the life, certainly not perfectly, in the life of godly women. The fruit of the Spirit, the attributes of love, they're expressed in the godly woman. Well, this has been exemplified for us. Famous women in the Bible that have admirable notes of character. They're not one-dimensional people, but certain things rise up in their lives. I want to do a little survey. maybe have a little fun with this as we work through some of these women in the Bible. I'll go in alphabetical order, but I'll say their name, I'll say who they are, and then I want you to think just for a moment of what character trait jumps out at you, and then I'll give you mine, and we'll see that we have many examples of great women in the Bible that are an inspiration, I hope, to our women. First of all, it's sort of like a name association thing, character association with the name Abigail. Abigail, the wife of wicked Nabal. She became the wife of David after Nabal's death. If you think about the story, how she sided with David, this woman is a hero. Think about Deborah, a prophetess and a judge. Quite an esteemed position. Woman of tremendous bravery and resolve. There's Esther, again, queen of the Persian Empire. Basically puts her life on the line to spare God's people. Courage. It's a woman of courage. Lois and Eunice, Timothy's grandmother and mother, taught Timothy the things of the Lord. Faithful nurture in the Lord. Hannah, a prophetess and mother of Samuel, trust and devotion. Jael, heroine who killed a bad guy, Sisera, by driving a spike through his temples. Guts. Didn't know what else to think about that one. Lydia, hospitality. Martha, servant. Mary, mother of Jesus. Beautiful picture of submission to the Lord and trust. Mary, sister of Lazarus and Martha. Devotion, constantly sitting at the feet of Jesus. Mary Magdalene, delivered of 7 demons, now what? Wholehearted devotion to Jesus. Phoebe, a servant in the church of Cenchrea. Servanthood, of course. Priscilla, missionary partner to Paul, the apostle, a teacher and a minister, or a missionary. Rahab, once her life changed, once a prostitute, comes over to the people of God, very clever in her tactics, protecting God's people and turning everything around in Jericho. Ruth, brought into the covenant of God, faithful. And then the Samaritan woman comes out of a bad life situation, confronted by Jesus, realizes that she's met the Savior. She goes right to her people and she tells them about Jesus. Boldness. Well, these are just some women of the Bible. There have been plenty of women throughout history. You know women in your lives, maybe mothers, maybe grandmothers, maybe sisters, maybe daughters who show certain attributes that stand out, but you know that they come from hearts that are devoted to God because they fear the Lord. They blossom. They're beautiful. That inward beauty comes out in their character and their actions. So a beautiful woman fears the Lord. A beautiful woman looks to Christ. She's a woman of faith. These Old Testament women all looked to Christ ultimately. We learn that from Hebrews, that eyes were fixed on Christ somehow through types and through signs, etc. In the New Testament, we have plenty of women who are looking to Christ, following Christ, serving Christ. Peter, in his first letter, writes about an Old Testament woman who's an example to New Testament women. 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 1, if you want to read along. Likewise, wives, be subject to your own husbands, so that even if some do not obey the word, they may be won without a word by the conduct of their wives, when they see your respectful and pure conduct. Do not let your adorning be external, the braiding of hair and the putting on of gold jewelry or the clothing you wear. But let your adorning be the hidden person of the heart with the imperishable beauty of a gentle and quiet spirit, which in God's sight is very precious. For this is how the holy women who hoped in God used to adorn themselves by submitting to their own husbands, as Sarah obeyed Abraham, calling him Lord. And you are her children if you do good and do not fear anything that is frightening. I'm not going to leave this out, guys. Likewise, husbands, live with your wives in an understanding way, showing honor to the women as the weaker vessel, since they are heirs with you of the grace of life, so that your prayers may not be hindered. Now, I know some people find those texts very offensive. But Peter is simply trying to describe a woman of faith. And who would not want to be associated with someone the likes of Sarah, the mother of faith, of those who trust in Christ? Beautiful woman is a woman who looks to Christ. Her soul has been made beautiful by the transforming power of the gospel. She's come to the cross. She surrendered to Christ. Her life is submitted, and her soul has been cleansed. And she puts that faith into action. So the beautiful woman is one who fears the Lord, looks to Christ, and therefore she's adorned with grace. She's covered with grace. And her life shows evidence that God's work is active in her. People recognize Christ in her. And so she's distinguished. She'll be noticed for her works. She's pleasing in the sight of God, and she's valued among God's people greatly. And she's to be praised. And so we do that tonight. We honor our women, and we praise you, and we give God the glory for you, and we rejoice at what he's doing in your life. You are to be praised. Let's pray. Lord our God, we do thank you for your amazing design for creation, your amazing design for the crown of your creation that you, from the beginning, made man and woman. And you made man and woman to glorify you, and you made woman to glorify you in her unique capacity. And Lord, you have shown us great examples of that. You've proven to us what that is. You've shown us that there's an abundance of grace evident in the lives of your women. Lord, I'm certain that many of our women feel inadequate. But Lord, you are the one who loves them. You are the one who desires inner beauty and delights in inner beauty. If any of our women have any doubt, Lord, give them a new assurance and comfort tonight of your care and your love for them. Lord, may you help them to be before you asking that you would work in them what's pleasing in your sight. And as for all of us, Lord, we pray that we would give our women the honor due their name, the honor due their position, their place, that we would esteem them, that we would praise them, that we would encourage them in every way, that they would know that they are beautiful in your sight because of your grace, and they're beautiful in our sight. We come to you in the name of Jesus. Amen.